Equipment change. What's going on? Welcome to the program. We go to hour number two. I'm in Southern California. I'm live in the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. I am Jim Rome. Starting off hour number two. Great to be with you. All right, your phone number is toll-free, 1-800-636-8686. You know, follow me on Twitter, at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at Habitate.com. Phone lines are full. More telephone calls coming up in a moment, but let's talk some NBA. As promised, we are joined right now by a guard for the Portland Trail Blazers. He is in his fifth NBA season. Last night, huge game against Houston. He went off for 24-6-4 for the season. 22 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists per game. He was the 2016 Most Improved Player. Remember, played his college ball at Lehigh. He was taken number 10 overall in 2013. Portland is at New Orleans tomorrow night. CJ McCollum is my guest. CJ, Happy New Year. Good to have you back. How are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Good.
Happy New Year to you, too.
Good, man. Great to have you back. I'm so good. So you dropped a tough one in Houston last night. It was the second game of a back-to-back. That was after you won 3 straight, including wins over OKC in San Antonio. So what I'm getting at is it's a long season. Are you able to shake off last night pretty quickly and get ready for it tomorrow night, or do losses sting with you no matter how and when they happen?
No, I mean, it definitely hurt, especially close games. You feel like you should have won. You kind of review the game in your head, you know, different possessions and things you could have done better. But like you said before, it's such a long season. You can't hang your head too long because you always have a game within, I'd say, 24 to 36 hours. So got to be ready to turn the corner.
Now, late in last night's game, when it appeared to be decided and Houston could have just simply dribbled out the clock, Chris Paul went in for a layup. It seemed like Damian Lillard was less than pleased with that. In your opinion, did Paul violate an unwritten rule in that situation? And is that something you would have done?
I mean, it's tough. I mean, you look at how the game was going. I think we just scored on a possession before that, and then we fouled. Maybe they thought that we were going to foul him again, want to get a quick 2 points. I'm not sure what the thought process was there. But, like, I mean, it's the NBA. There is an unwritten rule, but growing up, you play till the zero. So if you don't want somebody to score, I mean, I guess we should have fouled him. I should have chased him down and fouled him before he laid it up. But it's a tough one. It's a tough one. When it happens against you, you never like it. Just put it like that.
So it's just one of those things, and you keep moving, or maybe is that going to be in the back of your mind?
I mean, it's you use whatever you can to motivate yourself. Obviously, we're all driven from within, but if that's what it takes for somebody to get up for another game, then we can try to use that as a bench. But we got to do a better job of taking care of games and winning so that we're not in that position.
CJ McCollum joining us. All right, so go back to Tuesday night. You led all scorers in the win over OKC. You had 27 that night, including 15 on 7 of 9 in the third quarter. So when you're in the zone like that and you get on a roll like that, I mean, what's that feel like? Is there a sense that nobody who's in front of you can stop you?
Yeah, it's definitely a feeling to where you feel like regardless of if you get space or separation or not, the ball's going in. I think our staff did a good job of putting me in a position to succeed. Guys were setting screens for me, allowing me to get open. And then once I got a couple to fall, it was all downhill from there. It was a pretty good game for us, and one that we were able to steal one on the road without Dame and pull away pretty comfortably before we headed into that Houston game last night.
You know, you mentioned without Dame, you've won 3 of your last 4, you've won 4 of 6, and this is coming during a stretch where he's missed a number of games. So overall, where do you think the team is at this point of the season? Do you feel like this team has started to find its identity? And if so, what is it?
Yeah, I feel like we're heading in the right direction. You know, early on in the season, we were defending extremely well, you know, top 5 in the NBA, but offensively, we're in the bottom half, not very efficient, not getting a lot of assists, not getting any transition baskets. So I think we're heading in the right direction, having scored over 110 points the last 5 games. We're still defending at a top 5 mark, and now we're improving offensively, getting more assists, and having a more fluent offense. I think halfway through the season, considering how we've played, you got to be happy that we're in the 5th spot.
Blazers guard CJ McCollum joining us once again. Now, you were on the cover of Slam magazine earlier this season, and for that piece, Kobe said the following. Let me read you this quote. CJ never seemed to view himself the way the basketball market viewed him. He always felt like he was better than what people viewed him to be. Because of that, I think he's always played with a chip on his shoulder. He's always worked harder than everyone else to prove what he believed his value was. End quote. So in your opinion, is that how it was? And then what's it mean to hear that from a guy like Kobe?
I mean, I think that's very accurate. I've always been under the radar. I've always had you know, people say I wasn't capable of doing certain things, or he's undersized, he went to a small school, he can't consistently perform at this level, or he's injury prone, you know, and they try to put you in this box. And for myself, I wanted to paint the picture. I wanted to be Picasso. I wanted to show everybody what I was and who I was. And I knew that with hard work, it would be undeniable. I knew that, you know, at some point I would get a chance to play. At some point I would be healthy. And when I was never going to look back. I was going to turn the page on everything people said about me and rewrite the next chapter. I think I did just that. And to hear, you know, recognition like that from a guy like Kobe Bryant, who's arguably, you know, the best two guard to ever play the game, Hall of Famer, really able to get two jerseys retired, and someone I looked up to my entire life. I'm thankful for his recognition and for him, you know, seeing that in me, because I've worked extremely hard and I'm continuing to strive for greatness and continuing to try to put myself in a position where I can be one of the best players ever play.
Right, and now you've got the fruits of the labor. As an example, I had former Oklahoma offensive tackle Orlando Brown, who's entering the NFL draft, on the show yesterday. We were talking about fashion. You're no stranger to fashion either. In fact, you've got a partnership with Banana Republic. How did that come about, and then how would you describe your approach to fashion?
Yeah, my agency did a good job of, you know, reaching out to Banana, and they expressed interest in me. And we kind of took off from there, doing different photo shoots in the summertime in New York City, you know, trying out different things. And I'm happy with the partnership and the relationship we have, and looking forward to continuing to build. And for me, I would say that my fashion, it changes, it evolves. A lot of times, you know, I'm in, you know, trench coat worthy gear because of the weather in Oregon, you know, overcoats and things of that nature because it's a little on the colder side. I love hoodies. I love dark colors. I love a gray olive green. And I try to mix it up, from street style to suits to, you know, dressy casual sweats.
And plus, I got to think, it's partly geographical, right? You got to represent the Northwest, Pacific Northwest.
Exactly.
I get that.
Exactly. That's huge. The Northwest swag, man, we wear a lot of hoodies, a lot of coats, boots, dark jeans, things of that nature to wear. You know, we try to show that we come from a cold place.
Got to represent. Listen, there's no way I'm going to talk to you and not ask you about your bro, Eric, who's tearing it up in Turkey right now. How pumped are you to see the season that he's having?
I'm very happy for him. You know, we put a lot of work in over the years, and we follow each other. We're still best friends to this day and continue to encourage each other. And, you know, with him leading, he's the leading vote getter right now for the All-Star game in Turkey. He's doing a great job of leading his team in the EuroLeague. He's been battling some injuries, but playing extremely well, and I'm looking forward to getting out to Europe again to visit him this summer.
Hey, listen, I respect the time he's put in, and I respect the time that you have put in, the two of you together. Can American fans vote for him to make that All-Star team? It sounds like he's doing great if he's the leading vote-getter right now, but can American fans vote?
Yes, American fans can vote. I'll post something on Twitter today. There's some links if you follow the Basketball League, or if you follow the EuroLeague, any of their handles on Twitter or Instagram, they give you specific directions with the link you can click on. But I'll also tweet something out again today. You can vote. I'm not sure when the voting ends, but he is the lead leader right now, the league leader.
All right, so in other words, it's all good. Well, except it's not all good because you're a Cleveland Browns fan. So, CJ, I got to ask, how would you describe this season and life in general as a Browns fan?
This season was a roller coaster ride, but it was just more so going uphill the entire time and never having the climax of going downhill. And as a Browns fan, Sundays are hard for us. You know, I always joke and say that, you know, the bye week and draft day are the best parts of the season for us, as well as when the season ends, because we never seem to be able to get things done. But I think we're heading in the right direction. We got some great draft picks. We have Josh Gordon back, and I'm looking forward to a new season. It doesn't get any worse than this past season. And I know that in my heart, deep down, we will make the playoffs before I die.
How do you know that?
Because the football gods will not allow me to go through life without seeing my Browns in the playoffs in my adulthood.
You know, this gets me to my next point. I mean, you're obviously very upbeat, very positive, somebody who's always looking at the glasses being half full. So how do you maintain that optimism when it comes to the Browns, when they keep doing the wrong things and breaking your heart?
I mean, I just feel like when you're loyal to something for so long, it has to turn around. You know, we have to turn the page and turn the corner at some point. We've missed a few times in the draft, and we've had some injuries in the draft, but I feel like it's only a matter of time before we get we get our Jimmy Garoppolo, or we get our Deshaun Watson, or we get our, you know, our Adrian Peterson. Like, it's only a matter of time before we hit the jackpot, and I think it's coming now in this upcoming draft.
Yeah, CJ, do you have an opinion? In the upcoming draft, you've got three or four guys who might be possibly franchise quarterbacks. Have you paid close attention to it? And if it were up to you, which quarterback would you take?
I think we have to really be smart about this quarterback situation, because it's hit or miss in every draft. You can get lucky and get the right one, or you can pick early and get the wrong one. So we have to really be critical of this. I've heard that, you know, there's some interest in the Redskins quarterback, a mutual interest, and he's potentially going to be a free agent. So we could trade down, leverage that pick, and then get a quarterback who's already proven himself in the league, and take a running back. You know, the kid from Penn State's very good. There's a lot of other players out there that can change our franchise. So I just hope that we make the right decision. And once again, that's why the people in the front office get paid the big bucks and I get paid to watch.
Yeah, but you handled that pretty well now. Penn State guy you're talking about is Saquon Barkley, Kirk Cousins from D.C. CJ, one thing, you mentioned Josh Gordon. Game recognizes game, and I love talking to guys about their thoughts about guys in other sports. Josh Gordon has certainly had his problems off the field. It seems like he's done the hard work on himself. He's trying to turn things around. But, man, what an absolutely freaky athlete. Can you imagine the time that he missed? And for him to step right on the field and play the way he did, as a fan and even as a fellow pro athlete, what do you make when you see him on the field doing what he does?
Man, he's special. He's special, and to be able to overcome some of the things he has in the past, and, you know, right his wrongs and get back on the right track, I'm happy for him. And I think the sport needs to see that, needs to see someone get a second chance and overcome, you know, different obstacles. But you talk about an athlete, a physical specimen who's able to, you know, take multiple years off, still train, still work on his body, still stay in shape, still run, you know, a 4.3 40, and be an NFL player through the ups and downs of this entire process, and to come back and have an impact just shows you the type of skills he has, and first and foremost, and the type of blessings God has given him. So I just hope that he continues to take advantage of it, stays on the right track, and helps take my Browns to the promised land.
CJ McCollum, my guest. Listen, one last thought. Didn't mean to keep you this long, but when you talk about an athlete and a specimen and a guy who's different, you look at LeBron and you look at what he's doing at this age and the level he's playing at and the kind of miles he has on him, because he started so early, got into the NBA at an early age, has played so many games in the postseason. I mean, to you, if you do what he does and you take care of your body, is that the new normal, or is that never going to be normal, and is he just a different freak of nature altogether?
No, he's definitely a freak of nature. There's nothing normal about, you know, 15 years of greatness, you know, being under the microscope so much, so 8 straight finals, playing arguably the best basketball of your career 15 years in. There's nothing like this. I think he's the exception to the rule. He's done a great job of taking care of his body, obviously. You know, very particular about what he's eating, what he's putting into his body. I know the red wine is a remedy I've been using for 3 or 4 years now, so I'm glad to see that, you know, he's enjoyed his wine and says that this is the best basketball he's playing. But I think that just the steps he's made in his game, he came in wanting to become a better jump shooter, shoot 40% from three. He came in wanting to win a championship. He's done that. He came in wanting to lead the league in assists. He's been close to doing that. And to see the strides he's made as a kid from Canton, Ohio, it's inspirational, because I know what he's come from, and I know what I've come from, and to see him be at the top of his game for this long is special.
Well, man, I keep trying to let you go, and you keep saying interesting things. All right, so one last bonus, the red wine thing. You're happy to see him with the red wine thing. What's your process with the red wine? Is it one glass a night? How much do you have and when? What's the process?
I try to get a glass like probably every other night, every couple of nights. So big win, I'm getting the glass out the cellar, or I'm cracking open a bottle. My girl's in town, we're definitely cracking open a bottle. We're in Oregon, so, you know, there's some great Pinots out there. I know Coach Pop invested in the A to Z, so I have about 20 A to Z wine bottles in my cellar, and I'll continue to stack it up. But my cousin's fiance actually works at a winery in the Bay Area, so she's been helping me out, sending me different bottles, and then, you know, just different people have been gifting me, you know, varieties of reds, and I got to credit my girlfriend, because she put me on when I was in college, and it's changed my life.
See, that's it. That's what I was going to say. We were married in Napa. Like, I want to be a wine guy so badly, but I know nothing about it, and I'm not that guy, and I was going to say to you, how did you get the bug? But you're saying it's your girl. She turned you on to it in college.
Yeah, you know, I was drinking the other stuff, and I started tasting that, and I was like, wow, this is life-changing. You know, it's a nice, chill buzz. You're able to, you know, still function. You're able to still recover at a rapid rate. And what they say is, you know, one glass a day is good for the heart, as long as you're drinking it in moderation. So it's something that I've adjusted to. And I think as you get older, you acquire the taste, because at first it was disgusting.
Pinot, Cab, Red, what?
Yeah, Pinot and Cab is my go-to. I really love Pinot, though. Any Pinot, you know, especially from Oregon or the Napa area, I'm destroying it.
My man, I'm white. Gin. I may have to rethink that thing, though, because my recovery is not as good as yours, and it's not a nice, chill buzz. But you know what? You're in my head. I think I got to learn this thing. CJ McCollum. In fact, every time you come on, I learn something. My man, you are the best, CJ. So good to have you on. And again, I really do apologize. I didn't mean to keep you that long, but you were that good. Thanks so much.
No worries, man. I appreciate you.
All right, appreciate you. Be good. CJ McCollum, one of my favorites. He and Dame both. The Blazers both. That's like, I want to be that wine guy. You've heard me talk about the Magic Blue. Janet and I got married in Napa, and not because we are wine people, because we are not. Janet will drink a little bit of wine, but he said it's life-changing. He said that more than once. I don't know. I might have to learn that game, because I don't have that game. I don't know that game. It's just not my thing, but he said it's life-changing. Just a nice glass every other day, nice little buzz, do it after a good win. And he said that when he started to consume the right stuff, that's when it all got better. He is so good. I love CJ McCollum. Your thoughts on the interview you just heard, 1-800-636-8686. In fact, you know what's good when the reaction's coming in before the end of the interview? Before I go to break, let me read this email. Romy, how dynamic is this cat? He's a freaking dagger-dropping badass from the Rip City. Yet then he starts dropping what types of colors he likes this time of year for his fashion. Then he drops that he's a Brown fan. And then he breaks down their entire organizational needs. Freaking slow clap, my man. Great interview. Mick, currently in NorCal. Thing is, I think that you wrote that email before he was done with the interview, or you would have given him credit for breaking down wine, too. I mean, it's so true. Wine, fashion, the Browns draft needs, NBA. He's got a brother who's playing overseas that he's tight with. That's why he's one of my favorite guys. Great baller. Tremendous class. Really smart, too. I want to be more like CJ McCollum. I'm going to have to give up the white and go red. Of course, my white is gin. Actually, that's not really fair. My white is also vodka. No white wine, though. When we come back, we are open until the top of the hour. Go ahead. Now is the time to call. Now is your opportunity. Get up in here. 1-800-636-8686. Got yourself a new year.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
What's cracking? All right, so we're wide open right now for an entire hour. Talk some hockey in hour number three. Vegas Golden Knights winger James Neal is going to join me at that point. So let me just quickly reset and give you some opportunities to get through. 1-800-636-8686. That's the phone number you want to use. Phone lines are actually open. You could get through right now if you tried. You can follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome. Still the very best way to get through. Or you can email us at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Back in hour number one, I talked about Blake Bortles. Bortles is in the news once again, and not so much because of anything he said or did, but because a Tennessee Titan took a run at him indirectly. Safety Kevin Byard was asked about Tom Brady, and, you know, he's asked what every single defensive player is asked about Tom Brady. What do you do to make this guy uncomfortable? What's the plan against Tom Brady? And Byard said, quote, "We want Brady to, quote, look like Blake Bortles if I can and try to catch a couple of picks." I mean, you ever seen a guy swerve that far out of their lane to crack a guy? Never mind, crack a guy like that that you're going up against, but crack a guy like that that you're not going up against. Bortles himself had to be like, the hell? I'm not playing this guy. I've got nothing to do with this guy. I'm minding my own business, getting ready to face the Steelers, and somebody in a different game facing a different quarterback is roasting me, killing me. The hell? But then again, Blake has heard that before, right? That didn't seem like that surprised Blake at all.
Yeah, it'll probably never stop, man. There's people that think LeBron James sucks, so if that happens, I'm sure there'll be a lot of people that always think I suck.
Well, the fact of the matter is, there's really nobody anywhere who's not the biggest troll ever who thinks that LeBron James sucks. That'd be like the worst take since. That'd be the worst take since that one guy called this show and tried to tell me that Cal Ripken sucked and that he had an overrated record. Listen, I've taken thousands and thousands. Hold up, Albie. I've taken thousands. I mean, literally thousands and thousands of calls on this show. I've heard every kind of take. I've heard some horrible takes. I've heard some of the worst takes in the history of radio. Having said all that, this might be the single worst take ever. Not only on this show, but on any sports talk radio show.
I heard you talking about Cal Ripken and his stupid overrated record. Cal Ripken sucks. He's overrated. He was overpaid. He did nothing good. He's average player at best who had a crappy record because he didn't play that hard. And so everybody thinks he's so great. Wow, he played a bunch of games in a row. Good job there, tough guy. I would pay $1 million just so I could spray that guy in the face with a full mace spray.
I mean, can I break that thing down sentence by sentence? Cal Ripken sucks. Incorrect. He's overrated. Incorrect. He had some stupid little record. Incorrect. I'd pay $1 million to spray him in the face with a full can of mace. Incorrect. I mean, everything about that was terrible. So saying that LeBron James sucks is the worst take I've heard since I heard that take, and that's the worst take ever. Now, back in the day, I think what Blake Bortles is getting at, back in the day, LeBron took a lot of heat. Back in the day, the rap was, this guy can't finish. This guy doesn't want the ball in his hand at the end of the game. This guy's not a cold-blooded killer. This guy's not Kobe. This guy's not Mike. And all these things are pretty laughable now, especially when you hear C.J. McCollum say what he said about LeBron. So I see where Blake is going kind of when he says that, but Blake's right about one thing. If he had said not, LeBron James sucks, people say that. If he had said, people take their runs at LeBron James, or people are critical of LeBron James. So yes, of course people say that I suck. Yeah, I mean, he's got a point there, right? If people are critical of LeBron James, then what chance would Blake Bortles ever have? He is right about that. But the thing is, the reason why I've got his back on this, he didn't stop there. He also made the point of saying, hey, you know what? Hopefully, this is a quote, hopefully we can throw less against Pittsburgh and give the football more to Leonard Fournette.
Hopefully we can throw less. You know, that'd be awesome. Leonard goes off again, and those guys up front, you know, play as well as they did last time. And you know, we can run the ball up there and not have to throw it all.
Man, my man is self-aware. How many quarterbacks do you know look in the mirror and say, you know what I need to do to get better? Throw the ball less. You know what we have to do to win? Have me not throw the ball at all. He just said, hopefully we don't have to throw it at all. And even better, he's right. He's right. This email, let's see. I like to play this game where sometimes before I read the email, I read who the email is from. So that way I prepare myself and I kind of know whether or not it's going to help the show or hurt the show. So I read from the bottom up to the top. The bottom of this, Steve in PHX. I already know it's not going to make the show better, but I'll play along. Rome, LeBron James sucks. Signed, Steakhouse Waiters. All right, Steve, two thoughts. Number one, not funny, not cool, not clever, not sharp, and most of all, not making my show better. Number two, he's referring to that old rap that somebody once said that LeBron James asks others to cut his meat for him. When you're rich, when you're famous, when you're a celebrity, when you're used to having other people do things for you that the rest of us do not have to do, that's not unusual. Honestly, these guys are entitled. Do you know why they act entitled? Because they are entitled. Do you know why they act like they're above the law? Because they are above the law. I get all that. There's no way this guy asked anybody to cut his meat. I don't buy it. Steve, so you're perpetuating a lie, and if you want to perpetuate a lie, at least make it funny, but that's not. You know why that's not funny, Steve? Because you're not funny. Why do you keep emailing me? Every time you email me, I read the email and I say it's not funny, and you just keep coming back for more. You're trying to wear me down. Like, do you get stronger as the game goes on, Steve? Are you stronger in the fourth quarter? Are you running downhill in the fourth quarter, Steve? Are you snot-bubbling fools, lighting up suckers and chumps? No, bro. Your game doesn't get better as the game goes on. Like, so why do you keep emailing me? Hey, Rome, I don't know. Why do you keep reading his emails? Fair point. Fair point. I probably should stop that. James Neal coming up next hour. Before I go to break, let's see what we got here. Who's on hold? Somebody who says he's getting a Rome tattoo. That's a lie. Hawk says it's true. All right. Which brings me to the guy who lost a bet who got a LeVar Ball tattoo. The one time you can welch on a bet. All of that coming up halfway through it. Having a good day once again. I don't know. All my days got better when the simulcast went on. I got to cop to something. I got to be really, really honest about this. I'm always demanding accountability. For the longest time, I wanted nothing to do with the simulcast. And the simulcast is a kick in the ass and it's a blast. And it's made this show better. I should have done it sooner. Time for a sports update. If you're sick of me and you want to know what's going on, here you go. I'm going to kick it to somebody who knows more about sports than me.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Liam Neeson returns to the big screen in the action-packed thriller, The Commuter. It features an all-star cast including Vera Farmiga, Patrick Wilson, Sam Neill, and Jonathan Banks. The Commuter, arriving in theaters tomorrow. So I mentioned that there are certain things that are a reason to go. And I don't condone violence. I mean, you don't want to get into a fight. But there are certain times when it's inevitable or it's inescapable or you really have no choice. Well, then you have likes to fight guy. There's some guys that look to fight every single weekend. For the most of us, though, we've been in very few fights in our life, and you really don't want to. You know why? Really bad things happen when somebody punches somebody else in the face. Life-changing things happen. But there are certain reasons to go. Somebody spits in your face? I'm not saying you have to go with 100% certainty, but generally, it's universally accepted that is such an utter sign of disrespect, you go. Somebody threatens you, your significant other, your kids, you go. Because you have to defend yourself. Defend their honor. Defend yourself. Defend yourself physically. Somebody insults your race or religion, you go. Somebody doesn't make good on a bet, you go. You just don't do that. You don't welch. Unless the bet involves getting a tat of LeVar Ball. Then you welch. Then you don't make good on that bet. Then you don't pay that bet. There's a guy in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, who had a fantasy bet which he lost. And by virtue of that loss, he had to get a LeVar Ball tat. And I said, hey, whatever the repercussions are, even if you have to go, you go. You just don't pay off that bet. Because that means going through the rest of your life with a tat of somebody else. And that tat being LeVar Ball, of all people. You don't want to do that. That said, now I know what you're thinking. Yeah, Rome, isn't there some tool who's got a tat of you? Yes and no. Dude's not a tool. He's an extremely successful talk show host. And my man's got taste. I mean, it's me, right? So you know Mike Albuquerque. He is the one and only person in the world rocking ink of me. Seems a little weird, but the guy would probably tell you, I don't know, Vance Mack, I really admire you. I respect you. I want to get in the business. I have gotten into the business. I got into the business because of you. You're my dude. So I got a tat of you and I'm not embarrassed. All right, so I mean, I guess every show has one. Every show may have two, or at least this show may have two, because Hawk just got off the phone with John in San Diego, and John in San Diego has laid out a rather elaborate plan to get ink, and not just ink, but show-related ink, jungle-related ink, but apparently not of my face, but of something relating to the show, but he doesn't know what it is. I said, come on, Hawk. This guy's totally jerking your chain. This is not true. He goes, oh, no. He's pretty serious about this. You should talk to him. Let's find out. We go to John in San Diego, who allegedly is going to get Jungle Ink, and it's going to go down this weekend. John, what's going on, brother? How are you?
Drew, Jumpman, Gillett, what's cracking?
All right, dude, so talk to me. Is this true? Are you thinking about getting Jungle Ink, and why would you do something like that?
Dude, there's nothing allegedly about it. It's happening. The problem is I don't know exactly what to get. So first of all, I just want to say, huge fan, Romy. I've been listening since 2004. My dad got you into the show when I was painting houses for him during the summer. My wife is actually a huge Lady Clone now. Like, I got her into the show. We're having our first kid in July, and she announced our pregnancy using sound bites from the show. So I'm not going to go all Jeff in San Antonio on you, but you mean a ton to me, you and the show. I mean, the jungle is amazing. So I want to get something to commemorate you. My dad is heavily advising against it. But nah, I say screw it, man. Like, I'm going to do this thing this Saturday. I just don't know what to get.
John,
my
San
mom
Diego.
Are going in for tattoos.
Okay, hold on. Let me just reset this. I love, and part of me loves what I'm hearing, of course, but I'm also, I don't want you to make a mistake that you're going to regret. But listen, I really appreciate you, John. I appreciate that your dad got you into the show. That's the beautiful thing about the jungle. I understand this. It's now become a generational thing where fathers hand it down to their sons. Now, he's against you getting ink. You start to say something about your mom. How does she feel about it?
I shot my mom a text and said I'm going to do this. She hasn't really responded yet, but my dad is super against it. But at the end of the day, like, he knows how much you mean to me. So I think mom's not going to have an issue with it.
Okay, now your wife is a Lady Clone. What's her name? And being a Lady Clone is one thing, but having her man get ink is another. Where does she come out on the tat?
Yeah, so her name's Elizabeth Smoke Show, by the way. But yeah, she... I recently just got buy-off. Like, it took a while. I've been kind of pressing on her for about a year now, but I just got buy-off a few days ago, which is why, like, I want to pull the trigger on this thing while, you know, before she has time to change her mind.
Okay, so one more thought. Do you have any ink? Have you done this before? Is this going to be your first tattoo, or do you have some ink already?
I already have some ink. I'm not, like, a guy that has a full sleeve on his arm or anything, but I have three smaller tattoos.
Okay,
and
all right.
So this is going to be my fourth.
All right, so now...
And potentially fifth.
Okay, so the point is, you don't know exactly what to do. I think
no.
We should open it up to the clones. You know, like, what are your
exactly,
thoughts right now?
Yeah, no, this is, like, a huge reason why I want to call. You know, I'm definitely shouting out to the clones here. Please tweet at me at jseggy. That's J-S-E-G-G-Y. I need some help. So I was thinking maybe something to, you know, maybe have a take don't suck. Maybe Sarah Jessica Parker related. You know, just something to do with the jungle.
All right, so when is this going down?
This is going down Saturday.
Now, bro, you're not going to back out of this and make me look bad. We have dedicated
a lot of airtime to this. Oh, definitely send proof. Absolutely.
All right, let me ask you this. If I can't be there Saturday because I'm traveling, but what if I were to send a Hawk there and he could roll tape on this and we could play it back because we are on TV right now? Might that work for you?
Nothing would make me happier.
My man. All right, John, so it's
at
jseggy, right? S-I-G-G-Y on Twitter.
S-E-G-G-Y.
S-E-G-G-Y.
Yes.
S-E-G-G-Y. All right, John, I'm not going to talk you out of it. I appreciate you. I'm not saying it's something you should do or have to do, but if you want to go through with this, you've got my blessing.
I want to do it, man.
Okay, well, let me open it up to the clones, and we'll see what they say.
All right, thanks, Jimmy.
All right, John, have a good day, man. Have a good life. And... let's see. Clones. He sounded very sincere. His dad turned him on to the show. His wife is a Lady Clone. They have a child coming, and she helped make the announcement with sound bites from the program. The dad's against the idea of getting a Rome tattoo. The mom has not responded yet, and he says he's doing it, and he's doing it this Saturday, but he needs to know what the tattoo should be of. He said, maybe have a take, don't suck. Maybe something Jessica Parker related. I wouldn't do that, John.
It doesn't make any sense.
And there's so many things better about the program. Clones, tweet at him, tweet at me. What kind of ink should this guy get? Mike in Albuquerque was the first guy, and he's got, like, the full Van smack. He's got me head to toe, like I'm in a suit. He's got my caricature. He did the whole thing. You know, do you go with the Rome Show logo? Do you go with the TV show logo? Do you go with something that's happened on the program? I don't know. That's tough. I mean, it's one thing to slam something really colorful and creative into 140 characters or less, but how do you slam something into a tat? You know, is it like that little tat on the ankle? Or is it like a tramp stamp? Or is it like the full back tat? Or do you go face tat? Neck tat? Or do you go like... the Van Smack teardrop tat. I don't know, bro. Maybe inside of the lip, bottom lip tat? I don't know. I can't speak to it. I don't have any ink. It comes up on the ATP sometimes. Rome, do you have any ink? I do not. All right, so tweet at J Siggy, S-E-G-G-Y, right? S-E-G-G-Y. My man's 27. He's married. He says he's getting it done on Saturday and that Hawk can come and roll tape on it so we get it. Pops got him into the show, but he's against him getting ink. He also told Hawk that not only does he have an artist, a tat artist already picked out, but he's got a budget. $300. $300. And he says maybe on his back or shoulder blade. Anybody have any ideas? Good idea, bad idea, best idea, worst idea. I mean, John was really sincere. And he said, look, Jim, the show means a lot to me. I love the show. My wife loves the show. My dad turned me on to the show. I want to represent the show. I just don't know how to represent the show. Let's see. Jim, would you consider getting Javier blasted on your arm? Thanks. Drew in West LA. Yes. Yes. Javier is my man. He is the owner and proprietor of the best Mexican restaurant in the world. One of the best restaurants of any genre in the world. Javier's.
Hell yes.
I'm not paid by Javier. I have no stock in Javier. Javier is not a sponsor on this program, but I have no problem name dropping him because I love Javier. Irvine Spectrum, Crystal Cove, San Jose, Mexico, Vegas, LA. Javier's the king. I might get Javier Inc. Let's go to the phones really quickly. He's looking for ideas. Sorry, I'm out of time. Don't hang up. Look at the clock. We're out of time this hour. When we come back, your ideas. This email says, Vine snagged. He should get Toby and Larry Brown in a reenactment shot. Signed Jimmy and Sack. Wore Giles. Wore Whitey's dad. That's old school stuff. Except that whole Toby thing. How can you reenact something that never happened? That would be awesome, though. That would be incredible. Larry Brown swinging around in a locker room. Rome, if that loser wants a good-looking tattoo that is show-related, he needs to get a tat of my face. John in Huntington Beach.
Hey, John.
And this last one says, Bohica.
Bohica, buddy. That stands for bend over, here it comes again.
Mike and Snowbird. I need some more ideas from my man, John. James Neal coming up next hour. And my thoughts on last night's Clippers-Warriors game.